In life, we have many enemies. It seems like no matter where you turn, there can be a problem, a trial, a difficulty, a literal enemy. We have many enemies, but perhaps the greatest enemy that we have, other than the devil, he's our adversary every day, but perhaps the greatest enemy we have is ourselves. We are our own worst enemies. And one of the greatest problems with us being our enemies is that we are always with us. You are always with you. I'm always with me. Imagine a stalker that's not only sometimes, but is all the time following someone around, provoking them, bothering them, no matter where they go, no matter what they do. That's what it's like. You are your own stalker. We are our own worst enemies, and we are always with us. And the sin that is inside of us is always coming to the surface, is always manifesting. Paul said, it's not I that did it, but sin within me. But we have that sin always within us, and we are our own worst enemies. But the good news is God has given us a weapon to be able to overcome our flesh, to be able to overcome who we are. And that weapon, he's given us many weapons, but one of them is love. I've entitled our message today, The Triumph of Love. And I want to look at four areas of our lives that we struggle with, four problems that we are, that love can help to overcome. First of all, I want to look at our selfishness. Love can help you to overcome when you are feeling selfish. Now, selfishness is when someone only cares about or thinks about himself and no one else. And this is not something that has to be taught. This is innate. This is human nature. Everyone is like this. We're born like this. When a baby cries, he can cry for several reasons. And by the way, a father has no idea why the baby's crying, but a mother can hear it and in a moment say, I know why the baby's crying. The baby's crying because he is hungry. He's crying because he's tired. Now he's crying because he is angry or frustrated. But no matter why a baby cries, it boils down to he is selfish. The baby cries because he's only thinking about himself. If he were thinking about his mother and how she should be able to get a good night's sleep, he would just lie there quietly. But he doesn't care about his mother. He only cares about himself. And we don't fault the baby for this. He's just a baby. But he is naturally selfish. And all of us, we have this inside of us. We are naturally selfish. And that rears its head so many times. How do you overcome selfishness? The answer is love. If we love other people and we consciously, this doesn't happen automatically, this doesn't happen subconsciously, but if we will consciously lift up others above ourselves and put them first, that will help to overcome our selfishness. Listen to what it says in Philippians chapter 2, verses 3 and 4. It says, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. This is tough, but possible. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. The way you can overcome selfishness is by loving other people. And that starts by esteeming them as better than yourself. If you look at other people and say, you know what, they are better than me. They deserve better. They deserve more. They deserve the first. They deserve the best. Then we will put ourselves, it says to be in lowliness of mind, to humble yourself, to put yourself last. Putting yourself first is selfishness. The opposite is love. It will overcome the selfishness. Jesus said that the greatest two commands in all the Bible are to love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. It's a great command, and it does so much. And then Jesus raised the bar a little bit further, and he said, I give you a new commandment to love one another as I have loved you. Not only to love other people the way you love yourself, but to love other people as Jesus loved us. And the more we get into that, it blows our minds how he laid down his life. Jesus says, no greater love hath any man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. And Jesus said that, and then shortly after, he did it. He sacrificed himself for us. He was totally selfless. He didn't come to be ministered unto. He didn't come to be served, but he came to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. The way to overcome that evil beast inside of us of selfishness is by love, by loving other people. Remember the golden rule that Jesus gave. It's in the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 7, verse 12. Jesus said, "Therefore, all things whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them. For this is the law and the prophets." If only we could live this way in life. Would you want somebody to do that for you? Then do that for them. Would you never want somebody to do that to you? Then don't do it to them. We need to learn how to show love and not think about ourselves, put ourselves last. Proverbs 13 and verse 10 sheds light on an important thing. Often people are struggling with arguing and fighting and backbiting and all these different types of contention. Proverbs 13:10 says this, "Only by pride cometh contention." What a 100% statement. Only by pride cometh contention. What is pride? Pride is the opposite of love for others. It's love of self and doing whatever you can to lift up yourself, to advance yourself, to think that you deserve the most. That is why we fight. That is why we argue and can't get along with each other, because of our pride. And we need to put our pride to the back. We need to kill our pride. And we need to love. Love overcomes selfishness. Another thing that helps us here with love overcoming selfishness is realizing who we are and what we have in Jesus. Here's what Romans chapter 8, verses 31 and 32 says about all believers. It says, "What shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things?" So because God loves us so much, he gave us Jesus, he's willing to give us everything we need in life. There's a similar verse in Psalm 84, verse 11. It says, "For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly." You know what those verses say together? They say that if you are saved, God is going to give you everything that you need if you walk with him. He's going to provide. He's going to open all the doors. And that frees us up. I don't have to be selfish anymore. I don't have to worry about myself. I don't have to be threatened by other people. Say, "Oh, what if he gets that, then I won't have enough." No, I'm going to have enough because God has promised to give me all that I need. If he gave me Jesus, then he's willing to give me everything that I need. And now I don't have to spend my life selfish. I can be freed up to love other people. I can serve, I can give, I can sacrifice without being threatened because I'm good. God's going to take care of all my needs. And may we be freed to love and allow love to push our selfishness away. Number two, let's move on. Not only can love help us to overcome when we're feeling selfish, love can also help us to overcome when we are feeling sinful. And I know there's overlap here. Obviously, there's sinfulness in selfishness. What we're talking about here is those times when you are tempted to do wrong in some way. And temptation comes in many shapes and forms. There's the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. So many ways, and each person's a little bit different in the way that the devil comes and tempts them. But if you're ever tempted to do a certain thing, maybe to take something, maybe to do something to someone, whenever you're tempted to do a particular sin, love can help you to overcome that temptation. First of all, obviously a love for God. If you love God, you don't want to offend him. You don't want to wrong him. You don't want to disappoint him and let him down. He's done all this for you, and with all his love for us, how can we sin against him? So if we love God, it's obviously going to keep us back from sin. But also loving other people can keep us back from personal sin in our lives. If we realize this truth, that whenever we sin, judgment will come upon us. And it will not only come upon us, but it will spill over into other people's lives. And they can be caught up in our judgment. They didn't do the sin. We did it. But the judgment sometimes, many times, will spill over into their lives. Listen to Joshua chapter 22. What's happening here is the nation of Israel, they've divided, they've conquered the land, they're dividing it up, and 2.5 tribes are on the east side of the Jordan River. After they defeat Canaan, they go back over there, and they build an altar to worship the Lord, but some people believe they were building that altar to do sacrifice to false gods. They believed they were rebelling against God. So listen to what it says, Joshua 22, 17. Is the iniquity of Peor too little for us, from which we are not cleansed until this day, although there was a plague in the congregation of the Lord? But that ye must turn away this day from following the Lord? And it will be, seeing ye rebel today against the Lord, that tomorrow he will be wroth with the whole congregation of Israel. Notwithstanding, if the land of your possession be unclean, then pass ye over into the land of the possession of the Lord, wherein the Lord's tabernacle dwelleth, and take possession among us. But rebel not against the Lord, nor rebel against us, in building you an altar beside the altar of the Lord our God. And here's what they say about Achan. Did not Achan, the son of Zerah, commit a trespass in the accursed thing? And wrath fell on all the congregation of Israel. And that man perished not alone in his iniquity. So the nation of Israel, they fought the battle of Jericho, they won. But unbeknownst to everyone else, Achan disobeyed God and he took what was forbidden to be taken. He took the accursed thing. And it says that when he took the accursed thing, he made the whole nation a curse. And they went into the next battle and they lost. And God says, I cannot be with you. I will not be with you anymore until you get the sin out of the camp, until you get the sinner out of the camp. And we need to know that we can never sin in a closet, in a corner, and nobody else is affected. For many people, that's their definition of right and wrong. If nobody else gets harmed, then it wasn't wrong. It's fine. No, people are harmed even if you did it alone, because the judgment comes down, the consequences come down, and they spread out and they spill over and they affect other people's lives. We've seen this recently in the life of David and how his sin affected his whole family and affected the whole nation for decades. When we realize that our sin will bring negative consequences, then love should come in and say, you know what? I love these people. And if I love these people, then I'm not going to do this sin in my life because I don't want my consequences to affect them. We need to allow love to be one of the deterrents to sin in our lives. How can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? And how can I do this great wickedness and sin against them? Because when I sin, by the way, if I sin with someone, I also sin against them. We mentioned that on Sunday. Because the judgment of God comes down and it falls on them. If I sin with them, then I've sinned against them. Proverbs 27 shows the flip side of this. It says, the just man walketh in his integrity. His children are blessed after him. What a wonderful truth. That if you and I do right, if we walk in our integrity, then others, then our children and others around us can be blessed after us. Blessing can come down and spill over to them. But in the same way, cursing will come down and spill over to them if we sin. So the greatest gift that you can give those around you is a holy life, not only in the example that it shows them, but also because blessing can come down and spill over, and they can avoid the judgment and the consequences that affect so many more people. Nobody is an island unto himself. It affects so many more people than we are aware of, and sometimes even generations to come. So love can help us to overcome ourselves when we are feeling sinful. Number three, a third area that love helps us to overcome is whenever we're feeling sour towards someone else, whenever we're feeling bitter. Somebody has wronged us, and that root of bitterness springs up and it's boiling underneath the surface, and all of a sudden one day it manifests and we lash out. But when we're feeling that, before we've done something, you know what overcomes that is love. What needs to happen whenever there's bitterness? Forgiveness needs to happen. And the only way that we can forgive properly is by love. Listen to Leviticus 19 and verse 18. It says, "Thou shalt not avenge nor bear any grudge against the children of thy people, but thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. I am the Lord." Interesting how God points out that the opposite of bitterness here is love. Do not avenge and don't hold a grudge. Instead, love. If you're ever holding a grudge against someone, it's the opposite of love. You are hating them. I'll say, and I don't hate them. I just don't forgive them for what they did. No, you need to love them and not hold a grudge. Listen to Luke 17, verses 3 and 4. Jesus says, "Take heed to yourselves. If thy brother trespass against thee, rebuke him. And if he repent, forgive him." Open and shut, simple. If he repents, you just forgive him. "And if he trespass against thee 7 times in a day, and 7 times in a day turn again to thee, saying, I repent, thou shalt forgive him." That kind of reads like one of the Ten Commandments, doesn't it? Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness. And here, thou shalt forgive him. This is a command from God. And we are commanded to forgive. We're commanded to love. That is how we forgive. The greatest example in human history of this is Jesus on the cross, being wronged more than anyone's ever been wronged because he was sinless. He's on the cross being persecuted, and he had been beaten and spat on, and they're jeering and cursing. And as they are doing that, he looks on them with love and says, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." How is that possible? How can we do that? The Bible says that that same love that he has been passed down. It's been given to us through the Holy Spirit. Did you know that love begets love? The way to overcome bitterness in your own heart as well as the heart of other people is by love. We love God, is what it says in 1 John 4:19. We love him because he first loved us. So we were against him. We were rejecting him. We were shaking our fists in his face. But his love broke through eventually. He loved us. He died for us. And that is why we love him. And love can heal and mend broken relationships. Maybe your marriage is broken, or maybe it's close to broken. Maybe a relationship with your parents or your children or some other close family member, maybe a neighbor, a friend, a coworker. Maybe there's been a breach. Maybe there's been a wrong and there's bitterness. You know the way you fix that? You know the way you get that back is by love. Just choosing to love. If you've been wronged, forgive them. If you have wronged, go to them and apologize. But love can mend that bridge that's been burned so many times. You can't buy love. Nobody can, a rich person can't say, "Oh, I'm rich. I can get any girl that I want, and I will just buy her and she'll love me for it." No, you can't buy love. And flattery can't get you love. You can't lie to people and butter them up. But if you sacrificially just keep on loving him, like this drumbeat that won't stop, you keep on loving, keep on loving. Many times love will break through that bitterness and people finally give up. How can I hate this person that just keeps on loving me? And love begets love. This is the way that Jesus won us over, and this is the way that we can win other people over. If your marriage or another relationship is on the rocks, it seems like, you know, the passion is gone. The way you get it back is just going after it and just loving, just choosing to love and not giving up no matter what. Love can triumph. And the number four, I want to finish with this thought. Love can help us to overcome when we are scared, when we are fearful. Fear is one of the most paralyzing forces in the world in people's lives. So many people are defined by fear. It's the number one attribute in their lives, that they are fearful of things. It seems like everyone may be afraid of something, but it seems like some people are afraid of everything. And there is a list of phobias longer, you know, than we can count. People are afraid of so many things. People are afraid of the future. They're afraid of the unknown. They're afraid of change. They're afraid of, you know, things that are new. People are afraid of public speaking. They're afraid of tight spaces. There is a fear of heights. People are afraid of spiders and snakes and sharks. People are afraid of the dark. And the list goes on and on. So what do you do with fear? How do you overcome fear? A lot of times people say, well, you have to face your fears. If you have a fear of heights, you need to go to the heights. You need to experience what you're afraid of and face it and overcome it. And that's good advice. But did you know that one of the ways to overcome so many fears in life is love? We don't often attribute love as an overcoming factor with fear. But listen to 1 John chapter 4 in verses 17 and 18. It says, "Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love." What a statement. There is no fear in love. "But perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love." That doesn't use highfalutin words. They're very simple words. It's simple language. But what a profound thought. That love casts out fear. And if you are afraid of anything, it's because, if I'm afraid of anything, it's because I'm not made perfect in love. There is no fear in love. When you love someone, you can just totally give yourself to them with no fear of the consequences of how things will turn out. You just, you know, you leave it in God's hands. Let's talk about the specific context of this verse, and then we'll apply it broadly, because it is a blanket statement. It's given a specific application, but that doesn't mean it only applies to that. The context is the judgment seat of Christ. As believers, we're going to stand before God someday. And many believers are scared to death of that moment, scared to death of that day. That day should be the greatest day of all time. We get to see Jesus. We're delivered from this world. We're going to be perfect and sinless. But so many people are living away from God, and they're afraid of seeing Jesus. Yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing him, but oh, it's so terrifying, the judgment. But if we love Jesus, then that's going to cause us to walk with him. We're going to live for him, and we're going to look forward to seeing him. And love for him should cast out that fear. I hope you're not looking forward to the judgment seat of Christ as a bittersweet moment. I hope it can just be joy because we love him, and because that love causes us to walk with him, and we don't have to be ashamed before him at that day. So the judgment seat of Christ hopefully is not a bittersweet. Hopefully love will cast out that fear. But so many other fears as well. Listen to 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 7. "God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." It's obvious there that power can overcome fear. If you have a person that you're afraid of, they might beat you up. If you have power, it gives you boldness. You overcome the fear. But it also says that love can overcome the fear. We don't have the spirit of fear. Instead, God has given us love to overcome fear. In your relationships, love can cast out fear. If you're afraid of what will happen in a relationship, whether it's, oh, I'm with this person and I hope we stay together, I hope that we get together. Did you know that if you have a perfect love for a particular person, so many people, they say, oh, I want to be with this person more than anything else, and I hope nothing ruins it. But if you love them perfectly, God says he's going to accomplish his will. And if God's will is for a person to not be with you, then if you love them, you want God's will for them more than you want to be with them. And if you love them, it casts out that fear. If you're in a marriage and that marriage is on the rocks and you have a fear, oh no, what if it all falls apart? The way that we overcome that fear is we love them. We give that problem to God and we say, God, I know that you're in charge. I know that you can do this. And I'm just going to pour out with love, and love will push away that fear. We don't live with that paralysis of how things are going to turn out. You think about a relationship with the unbelievers. God has called us as Christians to share the truth, to share the gospel with them. And with believers, God calls us to build them up, to edify, including confronting them if they're wayward. Fear keeps many believers from doing these things. Say, well, what if I share the gospel and they reject it? What if I lose a friend? What if they persecute me? What if they even get violent against me? And fear causes us to stop short. But if I love God, I'm going to say, God, I love you so much, I'm going to obey you. And if I love those people, if I have a deep burden and a love for the lost, even if I don't know them personally, if I love them, then I'm going to say, you know what? I want them to have salvation more than I want to be safe. I will risk the potential problems. I'll risk the potential dangers if it could mean that they could be saved from hell and live in heaven forever. If I love someone, then the fear will be cast out. And if I'm afraid, if I'm pulling back in fear, it's because I don't have enough love. Perfect love will cast out fear. Philippians 2:20 says this, "For I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for your state, for all seek their own, not the things which are Jesus Christ's." So many Christians, they're so consumed with their own things in life and not the things of God. That's why they don't share the gospel, because they don't have time, because they have their own things. They have their own agenda that they care about. And what we need is love that will push our own agenda to the side and cause us to grab onto the things of God. I want to finish with Romans chapter 5. It talks about a domino effect that happens because of love. I want to start in verse 2, Romans 5, the end of verse 2 says that we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. This is a wonderful domino, that the love of God, when we're saved, the Holy Spirit's given unto us. And it says that the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts. And because of that, it says that hope maketh not ashamed. We have these things that happen. We have tribulations, but they work patience and experience and hope. And we're not ashamed in all of that. And all this happens because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts. What we need more than, we don't need more money. That's not our problem in life. Well, if I just had more money, everything would be good. No. If I just had more friends or more fame. No. What we need is we need more love. We need love for God. We need love for other people that will cast out fear, that will overcome so many problems and obstacles that we face in life. If the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts, it starts a domino effect that will make us into true followers of Jesus. What some would call super Christians, what's really normal Christianity, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts. And it is attainable for all of us. All we need is love. Let's pray together.